Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mum podcast, brought to you by the lovely Golding Accountancy. For all your accountancy needs, we are golding.com. I've got my little daughter Juno sitting here looking at me because it's the holidays, isn't it? And I was actually, because I'm self-employed with a few jobs.
Work.
And I've now got to work and entertain two children.
Work.
And I was wondering, how do people do it? I mean, work. At the best of times, the summer holidays, I don't know how people do it. Like, if there's one person or two people, like, if you're both going out to work, like, I work from home, so obviously it's easier for me, but if you're going to an office every day, what do you do with your kids over the 6 weeks holidays? Like, I mean, I know that there's clubs and stuff that they can go to, but they cost a bloody fortune, so you obviously have to be earning quite well to be able to afford that. Like, if you don't have family and stuff that can help, I do think what do people do? And now I'm, because I've got more work recently, which is brilliant, but now I'm a bit like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do, June? We've got 6 weeks.
I don't know,
but it is going to be a lot of, I mean, I'm just going to try and work one day and then maybe go out the next day and just get up early and work late, I suppose, really. But it
okay,
is
mommy.
Okay, but it is it is a bit like, oh shit, I've got 6 weeks of kids and work, and what do you do? So if you've only got, if anyone helpful suggestions or free childcare services, then get in touch. But anyway, this week I was joined by the lovely, lovely, lovely Gail Porter.
Oh, don't you
see me? No, not you. Go away.
Go away.
Gail was kind enough to come on and talk to me. I mean, I watched Gail when I was Big Breakfast years, when she was on Top of the Pops. Like, I really remember her from my younger days. So I met her a few years ago at one of the hardcore listing gigs, and I was like, oh my god, it's Gail Porter. But it was, I messaged her to see if she'd fancy coming on, and she was like, yeah. And it was, she's so lovely. Like, she's genuinely just a really, really nice person. And I watched her BAFTA award-winning documentary recently, where she's so open and honest about her mental health issues over her whole life. And it's amazing to see what people go through. I mean, it's very sad, but the resilience that she shows, and you know, it's just it's just a massive part of who she is. But anyway, I highly recommend anyone to watch it. I found it on Vimeo. Is that how you say it? Vimeo. Because it was on, I think it was on the BBC, but it's not on there anymore. But if you just Google Gail Porter documentary, then you can watch it on Vimeo. But it's really good. I highly recommend it. And but she's lovely. She's just so lovely. And thank you, Gail, for coming on and talking to me. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in a bit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Work. Work.
Today, I'm joined by the BAFTA award-winning Gail Porter.
Hello.
Could you?
That's so weird, isn't it? BAFTA. That doesn't sound
it's
right.
It's amazing. Oh, it's brilliant.
It's weird.
I watched it because I hadn't watched it. I don't watch normal telly anymore, and I've been meaning to watch it.
Like alien telly,
yeah,
or something.
I watch telly from the from the aliens. No, I just watch like Netflix and stuff. Like I don't watch. What is it? Network telly? Is it network telly?
Anymore.
I just watch so I have been meaning to watch it, but I don't know where the year's gone. Like I can't believe it was on over a year ago, right? Was it?
So I'm like, right then, I don't know.
So I have watched it. Who's was it your idea to do it? Was it something you wanted to do?
No, it was kind of BBC Scotland and Tern Television just asked if I would be interested really.
Yeah.
I can't really remember exactly how it all went, and it was just interested mental health, then it became an interest in my journey, and then it became kind of more like, should we just do a show about what you've been through? And it was also about finding out about labels and things like that with when it comes to mental health. So I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then it started getting more and more intense, and I realized this is actually pretty much my story. And it was really hard, actually. 6 months in each other's pockets, me and the crew, and every single day covering mental health issues. And for someone that suffers from, you know, I'm up. I can't tell you what I'm going to be like from 1 minute to the next. And then suddenly, you're talking about it every single day, and knowing that it's getting filmed, and suddenly you think, oh, is this a good thing? I think I had a couple of tantrums when I'm going, I can't do this. and lots of tears and stuff. And then when it was finished, I was just like, right, don't want to see anybody. I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide. No one's going to watch it anyway. And then we won a BAFTA.
That's a really long time to spend on thinking about yourself, isn't it? And that must have
and
been
your past.
That must have been really hard. Did you feel better? After you'd done it, was it kind of a relief or no?
No. I was just thinking about it. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? No, I was exhausted, to be honest with you.
And then
I just wanted to get home and go to bed and not talk about anything to do with mental health or just really talk to anybody at all apart from the cat.
Yeah.
So little did I know that we were going to get completely locked down and the only person I would be talking to for a year was the cat. Well, there you go, eh?
So you got, we were just talking before, so you got COVID right at the start of lockdown.
Well, we think I did. So what happened was my dad passed away in Spain just before lockdown happened. So he was totally fine. He phoned me in the morning, been out, had his coffee. Sorry, I've got cattail in it.
That's fine.
And then, I got a phone call in the afternoon from my dad's phone, assumed it was my dad again, and it was a woman saying, your dad's dead. So he had massive, he'd gone home, was feeling a wee bit dizzy, had a massive brain hemorrhage, and that was it.
Oh, my God.
So I flew out to Spain to get him cremated, to bring him home, and I managed to get him home a few days before we were locked down.
Yeah.
I almost got locked down in Spain because I couldn't get out, because everyone was booking up the flights.
Yeah.
And so I three different flights. So the first two, the people that were cremating my dad hadn't managed to get into me. So I had to cancel them, and then I got the last flight out, which cost me about 10 times more than it should have done.
Yeah.
I had to get home. And then as soon as I got home, couldn't stop coughing, couldn't smell anything, I couldn't taste anything. And so I phoned up the doctor. Doctor put me onto 111, is it?
Yeah.
Then 111, do not leave the house.
Yeah.
It was all very weird, you know. I was like, what's going on? I've just, you know, picked up my dead dad, got home, can't breathe, can't, just coughing endlessly, can't taste anything, and I've been told not to leave my house at any point.
Yeah.
And I was pretty scared, to be honest. Yeah. And I was thinking, well, you know, I think I'm reasonably fit, but I've only got one set of stairs in my house, and I was struggling to get up and down. So then my neighbours were kind of like talking to me through the windows, and they were just dropping off. They were like, what do you want? And I was like, do you know what? I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsty.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was drinking water, but I couldn't do anything. So that was me for about 6-7 weeks. But
Were you very sick? Did you feel very sick? I was
very tired.
Yeah.
I'd sleep all day. I'd get up for a couple of hours, and then I'd be exhausted again.
Yeah.
And I'd make an effort, get showered, get dressed, even though I wasn't going anywhere, and then I'd be asleep again in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was very, it was not like me.
Have you?
And then, of course, I wasn't allowed to see my daughter. I wasn't allowed to see anybody because my daughter had stayed with her dad when I'd gone to pick up my dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now my cat has got, what do you call it? Separation anxiety. Because I've been in the house for so long. I'm glad somebody misses me, you know? I've been ages, and now the cat's like, where are you going? Sorry. What, the shop? I don't think so. My joyous life.
Have you had any effects after?
Do you know what? My taste has changed.
Has it?
My taste has definitely changed, yeah. I still, because my daughter's always saying to me, you know, what do you want to eat? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, why? I just don't fancy anything. Like, even if she used to get a pizza, I'd always want a bit of the crust or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't fancy that. And then I'll suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and went, do you know what I want? Just tinned tomatoes. Just really random things. I think, oh, I wonder if we've got any. And do you know what, at the moment, it's grapefruits. I've gone mad for grapefruits.
Oh, really? Also, it's a really strong taste, isn't it, grapefruit?
Yeah. And Marmite, but I've always liked Marmite.
I like Marmite.
But I've been eating off a spoon.
Do you know what? That's supposed to be good for sleeping. My friend has trouble sleeping, and he has a spoonful about 8 o'clock every night, and he reckons that's helped him. I mean, I don't know if it's like a placebo, you know.
Well, because I do sometimes at night time, I have a rice cake and I cover it in Marmite,
yeah,
and it feels like it's my comfort blanket,
yeah,
because it's my good thing. But I've not been sleeping well at the moment. I slept well last night. I've been doing these. I don't know if they work or not, if I'm just an idiot, but you know those pads that you put on your feet and they're supposed to like detox you?
Yeah.
It's like reflect all stuff, and you put the pads on at night, and then when you take it off in the morning, it's like supposed to drain some toxins from your body. So I've been using them for 2 nights and I've slept really well.
Oh, well, if it works. What about, have you tried those weighted blankets? Have you seen those?
I've got one.
Are they good?
But the thing is, yeah, but because I'm kind of a certain age, I'm really sweaty at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm either too hot, too cold, oh my God, they're brilliant. I got sent one and it's like having a massive cuddle. But then when I had the COVID-y type thing, it felt my chest was so heavy anyway,
yeah,
and it made me really claustrophobic. But they are fantastic. If you want a proper hug in a blanket,
yeah,
and you want to sleep, they are. I think they're quite expensive, but they're so worth it. When I first got mine, I slept for about a month. It was great.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good to know that they work. So I wanted to talk to you about everything.
Great, okay.
I hope you've got some time.
So a couple of days, yeah.
How did you get, like, going back into, like, the beginnings, how did you get into doing the TV stuff? Did you always kind of want to do something like that?
Not really. I wanted to kind of work in film or be an editor or something like that, something creative. And I studied film photography, did a bit radio and stuff. And then I wasn't, you know, if you'd asked me what I wanted to be, it was usually just Princess Leia or I don't know. I had no plans whatsoever. And then I just kind of like winged it. So I wrote to lots of TV companies when I was at college and just said, you know, does anyone want a runner, tea maker, whatever? I wrote to hundreds of companies, kept all the replies. I remember getting one from Chris Evans saying no. And then he invited me in the 1990s, he invited me onto TFI Friday and I showed him the letter. I went, you ain't even 16. No, you're getting thank you. Yeah, I just wrote to loads of places and a place in Edinburgh said, do you want to come? There were facilities house. So it was editing corporate videos and stuff. So I just literally was a dog's body, didn't get paid.
Yeah.
Went up to, so I was down here. Yeah, do you know what it's like? I was down here and then back to Edinburgh, did all that. I was babysitting for everyone, everybody's kids. I was literally doing any job for free, working 7 days a week. And then one of the directors I was working for mentioned there was an audition for a kids program and he was like, I think you'd be really good at it. So I applied, went along for the audition, and there was like thousands of kids in neon, just, you know, woo, children's film. I think I just rocked up in a pair of jeans thinking, oh, bollocks. But because I'd worked behind the scenes for quite a wee while, being on a set, I wasn't really that nervous and I wasn't really that bothered.
Yeah.
So did the audition, and then through the week, so I was sort of working in a bar, working in the facilities house, and then they kept saying, oh, you're down to the last 200, you're down to the last 100. And like, yeah, yeah. They go down to, can you come back in again? I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And then it was saying, oh, you're down to the last 10. And you think, oh, shit. And then you start to get your hopes up. Yeah. You think, I'm working a bar for free. So, and then I was down to the last two. And then I got the job. And it was a live game show for kids called the Totally Interactive Game Show. And that was it. So I did that for a few months and then sort of went back to working in bars, and then eventually people were inviting me to do the odd audition, and then it kind of just took off from there. So none of it was planned. Yeah. Whatsoever. No plans. Still don't know what I do, to be honest with you. Yeah. I don't think I sort of like, yeah, I don't know. My daughter's always saying, what actually do you do? I went,
just go for my
I've gone back to working for free again. Yeah. I was like, anybody. I can't remember last time I did a paid job that actually went well.
You must have found it quite natural, the presenting stuff.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It didn't feel like I was doing a job. It felt like I was just getting paid to have a laugh.
Yeah.
I think because I was always quite good with kids and I did lots of babysitting since I was like 15, 16 years old. And I like people. Yeah. So to me, it was just a job to smile, laugh and be nice to people. So,
and I suppose as well, if it wasn't always like, this is what I really want to do, I suppose it takes the pressure off a bit as well.
Yeah, because I thought, well, if I fail, I'll just do something else. Yeah. Because I didn't really plan anyway. So it wasn't as if this is it. Oh my gosh, if I'm rubbish at this, yeah, my life is over. I was just thinking, oh, I could do something else. I could work in one of them big ballparks where I could just jump in and go, yeah, come in a big ballpark. I didn't really care, to be honest. As long as I was happy, yeah, it didn't really bother me.
So
I think my dad was devastated. He was like, you could be a lawyer or an accountant. I went, and I failed accounts and law. Why would I possibly want to be a lawyer? They're mean and they take all your money.
Yeah.
And he's like, exactly.
Yeah. So when did you come down to London?
Well, it's kind of like backwards and forwards, depending on work. So when I came down to London, I must have been 20s, the early 20s first time. Then I went back to Scotland to work. Then I got another job in London. Then I got a job on BBC Two called Fully Booked. It was like a bit like Live and Kicking.
Yeah.
So I have to go back up every Thursday, rehearse on a Friday, go live on a Saturday, back to London Saturday afternoon, work in London, then back up to Scotland. Sorry, the cat's headbutting.
That's right.
She's on heat, so she's making out with everything.
Oh shit, I'm gonna just let mine in. Go on, I can hear you. Oh no, he's not there. Oh no, he's there. He's sunbathing now in the dirt.
God. Yeah, so I was kind of like backwards and forwards since about the age of 22, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then when did I actually properly move down? Probably about 90. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't even know what happened yesterday, so I don't know.
When did you get the Top of the Pops gig? That must have been, were you really excited about that?
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I can't remember what I was doing at the time. But I do remember like an agent saying, would you be interested in doing a few slots on Top of the Pops? Hello? I used to like, have Madonna's like fingerless gloves, you know, the ones we used to have. And, yeah. and I used to like sing in the brush, ironically. And, you know, I'd go, it's still number one, it's Top of the Pops in my mom's front room. And my dad would be like, switch it off. That's not proper music. And then suddenly I was actually in the studio going, it's still number one. It's top. It was so exciting that first remember what bands were on in the first one, but I was just overwhelmed by the whole thing, and everyone was so lovely. Like the Chris Cowie, the producer, was just the nicest man. We're still friends to this day. He was in my documentary, and everyone was nice. You expect everyone to be, you know, oh, you know, musicians, and they're all going to be really mean to you. And everyone from the minute you walked in, the makeup ladies, we shared, like, once we'd finished or before we went in. We all go to the canteen, like a proper, you know, you had a wee token so you could go and get a sandwich or a salad. You know, it's one of those pick bar things. And we shared it with EastEnders. So I'm just like watching around and there'd be Barbara Windsor having her tea. And there'd be Ricky and Bianca. obviously, it's not the names, but you know me, I was like, what's going on? And you'd have the Manic sitting somewhere. And you're like, oh my God. Steps were obviously there practically every other month.
Gotcha.
Because everyone loved a bit of Steps in the 90s. Yeah. I think they still love the Steps, don't they? But it was just weird. It was like some sort of thing that you'd see on telly, like something like Inside Number 9, or one of those comedies that you just think it's just
Who was your favourite act? I mean, I know it's hard to choose, but was there one person that you really always wanted to meet? And did you ever meet Madonna?
I introduced Madonna, but she pre-recorded. Oh. So, but everyone thought I did, so I could have just lied and gone, and I introduced as well, but he wasn't there either. I did introduce Mariah Carey, but she had to be on a closed set, so I didn't see her.
Oh, really?
all sorts of things you don't know. Do you know what? Everyone was lovely, I think. I was completely infatuated with Damon Albarn, so when Blur came in, that was extremely exciting.
Yeah.
But I hid from him in the toilet, so that was a bit rough. Yeah, I was too nervous. I mean, we had so many, and like when the Scottish bands came in, like Texas, it was just so exciting because you knew you'd go out on a wee bit of a bender afterwards.
Yeah.
Because they were on a jolly down from Scotland and we were all Scottish, so it was like, woohoo, let's go out.
Was the social aspect of it really good?
We didn't always go out because I was doing Big Breakfast at some of the times as well, so you'd finish Top of the Pops at, you know, what, 10:30? Well, I think we'd finish about 9:30, but by the time you'd wrapped up, had a quick drink in the bar, and we were out in Elstree.
Yeah.
So you just want to get the car, go home, get up, get to work again. If you were doing the Big Breakfast, you'd be up about 2:30. So, and then you were live at 7:00.
Yeah.
So it was, I think people thought we were all going mad for it, but not really, because you know, it was just, everybody was working really hard.
Yeah.
All the presenters that were, Sarah Cox, Zoe Ball, you know, you'd get one picture of them out somewhere and it'd be the same picture that they use. I mean, they're still using a picture of Zoe with a bottle of Jack Daniels. And that, I think that was on her wedding day. And they used that picture going, oh, party girl. And do you know, everybody did. I didn't go out with the girls, but I know that everyone, they'd have one picture of you and then that would be it for years.
Yeah.
Going, look at them, look at them. Mad, I was like, that's the same picture. That was 1999.
oh wow, so everyone, Big Breakfast must have been fun.
That was great fun. And we were on with I was on with Johnny Vaughan and Lisa.
Yeah.
And, Lisa Tarbuck. And they were great fun, but it was chaotic.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what was happening most of the time. Because Johnny would just go off at one. Lisa was just hilariously funny. And I took over from Paula on the bed. So I was on the bed and you're sitting there and you're trying to zig and zag. And I thought, this is my job.
So honestly, one of my favourite memories from the 90s, zig and zag. I was obsessed with zig and zag. I've got their CD single.
Have you?
Yep.
Oh my, that's obsessive, yeah.
Oh, that must have been so much fun. I did it.
Frozen.
Oh,
there you go. You're back. Yeah.
I used to watch that every morning. But you do think, I hate getting up. Like, you think it must have been good fun, but yeah, I don't know if I could have handled getting up.
Oh, do you know what? It was so much fun. I didn't mind. I was so excited to get. You didn't know who was going to be there, or you'd sort of think you knew who was coming in. And it was always just be, everyone was just laughing. The crew got on like an absolute house on fire. We'd all go out for kind of lunch after it finished at 9 a.m. So it was very bizarre because obviously we've all been up since 2. So it was our lunch time. And yeah, we were all doing, you know, everyone was freelance. So everyone was off doing different jobs in the afternoon. Or if we had a day off, we'd all be in the bar by about 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Depends on who's working. And then we'd probably crash out by about 4 and get back up to do some other job. It was very, I mean, we were young.
Yeah.
So we could get away with it. I think I'd be a bit grumpy if I was doing it now.
Yeah.
But it was just so much fun, and you were so grateful to be working with such lovely people. And it was, everybody was involved as well, the cameramen, the runners, everybody was involved. You'd see somebody on screen at some point, you know, everyone was doing it. And it was a big, because I remember watching Kenny Everett as a kid, and when Kenny Everett was doing something really funny, that you could hear the cameraman or the camerawoman, everyone was laughing.
Yeah.
And it felt like you involved in a big thing, not just like one person doing their thing.
So
I like that whole, you know, inclusive element of the whole thing. So yeah, it was really good fun.
Yeah.
We need something like that on now. Sorry, the cat's just molting.
Yeah, we do.
I think they were talking about it. I think they were talking about it to Johnny and Denise Van Outen.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Vaughan and
Van Outen.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be
honestly,
fun.
Up in the morning and I don't even know what to watch because there's nothing. I just put on the murder channel. It's more fun. Not even joking. I read the news through the night, and then when it gets to like getting up, I just go on, right, snapped, women who kill, or meet Maddie murder, or then I wonder why I'm single, but maybe I shouldn't put that on my dating website. Well, what does she watch every morning? Meet Maddie murder. Oh, hang on, I'll go out with her. She sounds great.
Fair enough. So have you so do you have trouble sleeping a lot? Has that always been something?
Yeah, I think I started sleepwalking when I was about 3 or 4 years old.
Oh,
Mum
wow.
said. Oh yeah, I wandered around the house. I've left the house before when I was little with the duvet. My mum said I was going up the road to visit a friend. She found me, heard the door open, and there was me, a little thing with a duvet walking up the road. So but then sometimes when I sleep, I have had times when I've gone to sleep, I've been so tired that I've actually missed the day.
Wow.
Slept right. If I don't set an alarm, so if I'm really, really tired and I don't set an alarm, I can wake up and think, I don't know what time it is, and I'll check, and I'm like, and I have to double check what day it is. Or then I can stay awake for days on end and just not. So last night was up and down and up and down, but I have been taking CBD oil.
Right, yeah. Is that helping?
Yes, amazingly. But I ran out last week, so my delivery comes tomorrow. Well dodgy, but it is legal, I believe you may. Really good. And I just get a little bottle from Supreme CBD. And then, I get that. And then I just got a couple of dots under my tongue at nighttime.
Yeah.
And straight. Because I was doing also, I mean, I tried sleeping tablets, but then I wake up groggy. And I hate that. There's nothing worse. And I was a bit nervous to try the oil, but I have that and a cup of chamomile tea, and I sleep not to normal standards, maybe like 5-6 hours, but for me to get a straight is because usually I'll do maybe an hour, then I'm up for a couple of hours, then I'll do another half an hour, and then just nothing straight through, which is a pain in the backside to be honest, and it can throw me for a couple of days as well. That's why I keep trying. I'm going to try a wee run or a walk tonight.
Yeah, so does exercise help?
It does, but it's because I get quite nervous at night times, especially when it was like winter time and it was dark and it was all a little bit like 28 days later.
Yeah.
And you'd be in the park and then there'd be me and some one bloke who's coming way too close.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, be fine, but don't come too close because, you know, we've not had the nicest stories over lockdown about, you know, people's behaviour. So then I got nervous about that. And around my area, there was quite a lot of muggings. And we did get a note through from the police saying, ideally, females, try not to go out after stepping on your own.
Oh.
And that just puts, I know they're trying to be, not scaremonger you, but also keep aware. But then you are very aware.
Yeah.
And then I was walking down the street and I missed a mugging 5 o'clock, 2 nights ago, 5 o'clock in the evening. and I missed the mugging by 20 minutes. The woman 20 minutes behind me got mugged on the way down the street.
Oh.
And that was it. That was get nervous. So I tend to maybe try and exercise on DVD. I've still got a DVD player. But the thing is, when I'm in the house, I've got the attention span of a gnat. So anything shiny happens, or someone buzzes the buzzer, or I see a neighbour, I'm like that, shouting out the window. But when I'm out, I do that run or jog because I need to get home.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm here, I can quite easily just put the toaster on or something.
Yeah.
That's more.
But then it'd be good if you can go to the gym. Going back to the gym.
Well, I'm going to maybe cycle up there this afternoon and just book myself in because I quite enjoyed it. I had a bit of a run-in with my last gym, only because what I did was I had to go away for, well, I was working away doing that documentary for 6 months. So I cancelled my membership. And then I noticed when I looked at my bank statement a couple of months later that they were still charging me.
Yeah.
And so I phoned up. And I was like, hang on a minute, I cancelled it. They went, no, if you don't write a head office a letter, we'll just keep taking your money. So they actually took, before they actually did, they took 5 months of money and they said, oh, we can't give you your money back. So this is the gym that I want to revisit, but I'm so angry with them, but it's my nearest gym. But it wasn't their fault, it was the head office.
Yeah, but it's...
I'm going to name it, but you know, you wonder how Richard Branson is so rich, but I'm not going to name the gym.
Yeah, it's notorious for stuff like that, though, when you sign up, isn't it? You can't cancel your direct debit with the bank. Like, you have to do it through them, don't you? And they make it as hard as possible.
They do indeed. So, well, yeah.
Maybe if you're going to rejoin, maybe you should mention that and see what compensation they're going to offer you for...
Maybe I should tweet Richard. By the way, right, mate?
So do you find that exercise helps with your mental health in general? Do you feel better when you're...
Yeah, definitely. And do you know what the hardest thing is getting up and getting out.
Yeah.
So if I'm not walking, which is few and far between, you know, I've been doing lots of nice Zooms and chats and stuff. But if I've not got, you know, if I wake up at 8 and I just think, oh, I can't be bothered, so I've got nothing on till 12. So now I just go, right, 8, you're up, or 6, you're up, and you go and get that shower. I put it on cold and I jump in and I get a fright and then it warms up a bit and then I get my running stuff on. And even if I don't want to run, I'll walk and I'll just walk. I'll make sure I'm at least out for an hour before I do anything, because I hit the depression about 3 weeks ago and I spent a week in bed and I just felt awful.
Yeah.
I knew in my own head I should get up and do something, but I didn't. And so I'm back on it again. And I don't want to go back into that.
Yeah.
So I've been quite good. What about you? Do you do the same?
I exercise every day. I have a couple of rest days. But that I got into exercise when I separated from my girl's dad. I started doing the body coach. You know, Joe Wicks.
Oh, yeah.
My friend...
You're right.
Sorry, darling.
Is that all right?
Yeah, but my friend did it, and I was looking at his Instagram, and he used to post like the before and after pictures of, you know, and but I really liked it when someone was quite already fit, then seeing how fit they got, and I thought, well, it must work then, you know. So I thought I signed up, and I did it for a couple of years, and it was good because it got you had to. This was like back in the day, like I think one of his early plans, and you were eating a hell of a lot of protein. Are you a vegetarian?
Ideally. Well, I eat fish.
It was a lot, I was eating like steak for breakfast and stuff. Like, I know it's changed now, but it was quite full on. But it just got me exercising and I started really getting into it. But then after a couple of years, I kind of felt like I'd got to a place where I wouldn't move on from. So,
plateau, nothing was moving.
So I joined my local gym and I absolutely love it. And when we went into lockdown, we went online. And I honestly think that got me through doing the workouts because we were still seeing everyone because it was on Zoom. So you could still have a chat. And just because I had the girls at home, I just having that time for me, it just made me feel so much better. And I really do.
Yeah. I've been putting it off just because I was angry with Virgin, but it's not their fault. And I did join, there's a gym in Soho, which is like my ultimate dream gym. And I joined it and it's just too expensive. And it was just me and a man. But I used it for a month and then I thought, I can't afford this. But I did use it 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I was just there. So I got my month's worth and then I thought, this is madness. I can't afford this. I'm, you know, a single mom on my own. And even though my daughter's 18, that's even more expensive than when they were little.
But that's the thing, is it is expensive, but if it's money that you're spending on yourself and your health, then it's not expensive, is it?
No, really? And as I said earlier, I've given up drinking the wine, which I was doing over lockdown. It was way too easy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people got into that really bad habit of either eating too much
or,
and I was waiting till, I wasn't even waiting till 5 o'clock. Yeah. It was getting to lunchtime, but I wasn't doing anything. And I was just like, oh my God, open the wine.
Yeah.
And so I'd spend the day sort of writing, Zooming, getting a bottle of wine. And I thought, do you know what? If I don't buy that wine, that bottle of wine for the evening, then, you know, why? How can I not go to the gym? So that's my, I'm going to join the gym today because I've given up the wine. I'm not giving up the wine forever. So if I go out for lunch, I don't mind.
Yeah. But
it was just having it in the house, really bad, bad idea. Because, it was just too easy to feel sorry for yourself and think, and it doesn't help in the slightest.
No, it doesn't.
Occasionally. No, occasionally I get a decent sleep if I had like a glass of red wine at about 11 o'clock at night and I'd doze. But then I'd still feel shitty in the morning. So, the gym's a much better idea. And it's not too far away from me.
Yeah.
So I'll let them go for charging me for 5 months.
Yes.
Richard.
I still think you should mind.
What's
your daughter doing? Is she at college?
She's going to uni in September.
Oh, wow.
She's doing politics and criminology.
Oh, wow. Oh, that would be lovely. Can you believe you've got an 18-year-old?
No. How old are you?
7 and 10.
Oh, that's a nice.
Yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah, they are. They're lovely. Yeah, but it's still going so quick. It goes so quickly, doesn't it? Everyone tells you, but...
My daughter, she's got her universities planned. University planned. So I won't tell you where it is. But anyway, 2 weeks after she gets there, I've booked like a nice spa hotel. She doesn't even know. I'm just going to rock up. Well, this is the plan, right? The plan is, she said to me, do not come anywhere near me. Don't come up. Don't embarrass me. But I thought, well, what if she doesn't like the halls of residence? And then what? So the thing is, I can be there. And then I'll go, surprise, and she'll go, F off. You might say, but you know what? I quite fancy a wee, dinner with mom.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to. But then it gets worse because she said to me, so Freshers' Week, right? And I said, oh, yeah, what are we doing for Freshers' Week? She went, there is no way. You're not coming. And I was like, oh. So the Freshers' Week party is the ultimate 90s. I went, hello? I'm so coming. She's like, no. We have to dress up as someone from the ultimate 90s. And I was like, well, you can't dress up as me because I was practically naked for most of it. So,
but it's so ironic, isn't it? It's like you're probably like one of the coolest parents and she's still embarrassed. Like it does, you know.
She's like, don't come anywhere near me, Mum. Don't come anywhere. And I went, I can help you with like up the 90s, but we could do some bands or something. She's like, just walk away. All right. I'm not invited to Freshers' Week and I'm not allowed to go up. So basically, I'm going to Freshers' Week and I've booked a hotel. I'm not really
good.
I wouldn't turn up at
Freshers' Week. Can you imagine if you presented it?
I know. I was going to contact the uni. Yeah. Go, hey, do you want to know? All the kids would be like, Grandma, there's someone called Dave here. Who is she? I had recently. I've been walking through the street and this guy came up to me and he was like, I don't know, maybe in his 30s, and he went, oh my God. He went, hang on a minute. He's like, can you speak to someone? I went, yeah. And he got on the floor and he went, Grandpa, guess what? And I'm like, it was me thinking I was really cool getting some 30-year-old to chat to me
old.
And speak to Grandpa.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And I was like, they must have had you young, son.
Yeah. So. You said about being naked for most of the 90s. One in your program, when you said about the whole, it was FHM, was it FHM?
Yeah.
Who projected you naked on the House of Commons. Like, I really remember that. Like, your whole, with like similar age, like everything you did, I really remember. And when you said that you didn't know,
one of us does.
I'll fill you in later. Like when they said, when you said that they didn't tell you, I can't believe that they would do that without your permission.
Yep, they did indeed. And I actually bumped into the head of the PR company a few months back. So I saw it on the news the same day as everybody else did. Yeah. So, and it was all very shocking. And then, so I was doing Soho Radio and I was interviewing, no, someone went to interview me, and the girl who was booking me, she said, like, this guy's really, really nervous. And I said, what for? And she said, like, he was the head of the PR company that worked with FHM to organise it. And he's just, you know, he doesn't want you to be angry or to give him a hard time. And I was like, oh my God, it was 1999, for goodness sake, it's fine. But it was really interesting. So when he interviewed me, he said, so basically FHM contacted him. It was all massive secrecy. He got paid, obviously. And obviously I was not to know because I hadn't been paid for the shoot. But I did know I'd done it. Because I was naked, so I knew I'd been there. But they contacted this company, so all the guys were in cahoots. They organised all the press to turn up at midnight because it was only allowed to be flashed up for 1 minute because it's illegal.
Yeah.
So they'd organised all the press, got the images, got the van, cunning stunts, and they flashed the image up 1 minute. Everyone got the pictures. Everyone scarpered, and then it was in the press the next day. And so, yeah, and he said, I'm really sorry. And I was like, well, it's done now. I mean, there's nothing you could say about it. But it was kind of like, can you imagine if that happened?
You didn't get paid for the photo shoot and you didn't get paid for the thing. Wow. Because the thing is, I mean, obviously it was unforgivable that they did that without your permission. But at least if you'd earned a few bob out of it, you'd have been compensated in some way, but the fact that you didn't earn out of it, and
I think a lot of people thought that I was some sort of mastermind and I'd come up with some great PR stunt. Not at all. I'd just done a shoot, think nothing of it. They weren't telling me exactly what they were going to do with it. Didn't get paid because they said it'd be good for my publicity. And then the next thing, it's still getting talked about in 2021.
Yeah. But the thing made me laugh because it was, what was it, the 100 sexiest women or whatever, and you didn't win. That really made me laugh. I thought, the fucking cheek of it. At least I could have fucking. I mean, I'm sure you came very close, but it's like.
I don't know. I'd only got a copy of the magazine last year.
Oh, really?
Didn't send me one. Yeah, I didn't have one. And I thought, I was not going into the shop to buy one. Could you imagine how bad that would be? It was bad enough that all this has happened behind my back without me going, hey, can I just buy that off the top shelf, please? Thanks very much. Yeah, I couldn't even reach. So, no. So eventually I mentioned it to somebody and they went, we can get you one. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't have anything, to be honest with you. Anything that I've ever done. My mum had all my press cuttings, but my brother lives in my mum's when she passed away, and I don't know what he did with it all, so I've got nothing whatsoever. People keep saying to me, right, I'm doing a job, they went, could you send us a press picture? I was like, I don't have any. Just get one off the internet, I don't know. I literally, like, don't care. Not in a bad way, you know. Yeah. I like doing my job, but I don't have a collection of pictures that I think are really nice. I don't look at things like that. It's just a bit embarrassing, really.
Well, it's weird, nice when it's you, but it'd be nice to know they were somewhere.
Yeah, so I think I'll speak to, well, I don't speak to my brother, but hopefully my daughter can get a hold of them. It's, you know, if I die or something, well, I will die at some point. But it'd be quite nice. My mum's absolutely insane. The thing is, they're all Googling stuff now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because I remember the time she came home from little school and she was like, Mummy, one of my friends Googled you. And I was like, that's illegal. She went, it's not. And I'm like, well, it is your age. You don't Google anything that I've ever done. The thing is, I only did probably maybe like a handful, maybe 10 shoots or something with those sort of magazines.
Yeah.
But there are things that will come up. I could be working in this industry for like 25 years, but it will just show like that one image.
Yeah. So did they contact you? Because you were like, that's when it changed, was it? Because you were like the kids' TV presenter, and then that happened, and then you're like, massive sex symbol. When did you Did they approach you? Or was it your agent to get your bits out?
No, I just did it off my own back. And it was, well, it was only my, off my own back, but it was only literally, well, it wasn't, I didn't think it was that bad.
It wasn't at all.
I didn't think it was like, you know, I was on page 3 with my back out. It was kind of, I quite arty. I thought it was quite nice.
It's a beautiful photo.
Everyone just went a bit crazy about it. And I thought, hang on a minute, I've seen a lot worse than this. But I think maybe because I looked quite young at the time, even though I was, what, 29?
No,
I was about
way.
28. Yeah, I was like 28 or something. All right, hang on, 71. Yeah, I was 28.
Wow.
But because I think I'd been on children's telly, I was actually doing Top of the Pops at the time, so they didn't care one way or the other.
Yeah.
So, but everyone, I wasn't doing any kids' telly at that point.
Wow.
So they just assumed, because I used to do kids' telly, this must be terrible. Everyone just, like, makes things up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm not on the telly at the moment. I'm not doing any kids' telly. And, yeah, they just actually contacted me directly and said, would you like to come in and do a shoot? Not sure what we're going to do with it. And I thought, why not? You're only young once. And I'd been working out, so I thought, yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. There you go.
It is a lovely photo, and you look amazing.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, no, but, you do.
Photo shopping was a big thing back then, thank God.
But that's...
Well, you know, they took... Because they've got the side of my breast,
yeah.
And they took the nipple off because they said the nipple was offensive. They can't do it legally, and I was like, you just put it like 100 feet of a naked arse up there and you took my nipple off
because that was the thing that because they were worried about. That's the offensive thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a old world we live in, isn't it?
So did that affect you when that happened?
Well, yeah, because not only did I not know about it, suddenly, everyone and their mate had an opinion. People either thought it was disgusting or I'd done it on purpose.
Yeah.
Feminists outraged. Lads thought you were, you know, just some sort of piece of meat.
Yeah.
And I was living on my own. And suddenly, there was people outside the house. There was paps following you around. There was... Yeah, you couldn't do anything without somebody having something to say about you. And every newspaper had a comment and people were coming out the woodwork. And it was just really, I just kept, you know, luckily because I was working, I kept going, kept smiling, getting home, having a good cry, getting up, getting on again, getting home, crying again, getting up, getting home again, bottle of wine, crying into the bottle of wine, getting up again. It was just never ending. And everyone suddenly wanted you on a talk show, or, you know, I did Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and Mark Lamar was completely rude to me.
I watched that. I remember that.
You know, it was outrageous, and I was trying to keep it together, and I thought, I'm going to start crying on television. This is really, he was just, you know, basically.
It's bullying.
Yeah, he was a bully.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. And then people would make fun of you, or, you know, it was hard.
Yeah.
And then you had to keep smiling and just think, do you know what, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
I didn't choose for that to happen. I did the picture, so it's my fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, I now have to take the after and get on with it. So, you know, it made me strong, but it also broke me every night. So, yeah.
So how did you think about, because obviously you've always had issues with your mental health, but if you, like you said in the documentary, when you spoke at the end, when you spoke to the psychiatrist who kind of gave you a quick diagnosis or whatever, and but you said about that you...
Oh, yeah. 5 minutes and you've got this.
This is what you are.
In 6 months, I've got 5 different diagnoses with people that I've never met before. I just turned up, rocked up. We'd be there for like half an hour, maybe an hour max, and they told me everything about me. And I was like, seriously?
Oh, what, you did that with 5 different...
Yeah, for, I don't know how many they showed in there, because I've not watched the whole documentary right
just
through.
Just one?
But, all right, okay. You didn't say what? Yeah, no, I did 5.
Wow.
5 different documentaries.
Did they all say different things?
Yeah, every single one of them.
Wow.
I felt like a proper schizophrenic. I was like, I don't know, which one am I?
But then the thing is, it's people's interpret. Everyone's different, aren't they? So everyone will interpret different everything. Yeah. So, wow.
I just sat there and listened. By at first, I was kind of fighting back and going, no, hang on a minute. And then I think by psychiatrist number three, I was just sat there, listened. They wrote something down. I was like, cheers, thanks, next.
Yeah. Because you said
that's what I thought.
Like the whole labels thing is you don't want to, labeled.
There's no point because, well, do you know what? Some people like to have a label.
Yeah.
They like to say, hey, that's what I am. Whereas I was given 5 different ones in 6 months. And I find that more confusing than anything else. So I was just like, right, I'm just going to get on with it. I'm just going to be me. I don't want to take medication. I've been there. Didn't work for me. It works for some people. For me,
what have you taken?
What have I not? Come on. What, legally or illegally? Right, legally, I have taken everything from Prozac, Zitalopram, lithium.
Oh my goodness.
I was sectioned.
Yeah,
so
of course.
They gave me tablets in the morning, tablets at lunchtime. Yeah. I don't even know what happened. I've got a list of them somewhere because I've written it in my book, and it's about half a chapter. I've just like, and then they give you all these drugs, and then you, when I got home, I googled everything. It's like, don't take this because it'll make you depressed. Don't take this because it'll make you suicidal. I've gone in there because I was depressed and suicidal. They go, side effects can be diarrhea and suicide. Always a bit of diarrhea in there where you want to kill yourself. Oh my god.
Have you ever taken anything and it's made you feel better?
Not legally.
No. Oh, what's could you talk about what you've taken that's not legally? Crack. No. I love a bit of crack.
No, I didn't feel that bad. nothing that I've taken because it's all been a little bit extreme. So
yeah.
Prozac was a nightmare for me. Have you taken anything?
I've always had really bad PMT, and when I was, I think I must have been about 19, 20, the doctor actually gave me antidepressants, and I took one, and it was probably about 5 o'clock. I had a bath, I felt really tired. I shit myself in the bath.
Nice.
And then I went to bed.
What?
And I had
come
to
see how good it looked.
It was beautiful. I went to bed. I had to get up really early because I used to drive to university, and I fell asleep driving. And I never...
What was it you were...
I've got no idea. I mean, this was 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. But I took one, and then that was it. But I was like, I don't need... I've got PMT. I don't need antidepressants. Like, I didn't understand why. I think she just didn't know what to do. So she was just like,
I went to the doctors a few times, and... they didn't know what to do, so they just give me anything.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even, and they were just making me worse. And then eventually I just thought, you know what, I can't be bothered. There was one time I went to I was having a proper breakdown. I went to the doctors and I was in tears, and I was in a really, and I knew I was in a bad way, and I'd phoned up and they said, no, you can't come in. And I went up and I was crying, and I said, look, just 5 minutes, that's all I want. I just want to talk to someone for 5 minutes. She just went, we've got a week on Thursday. And I went, it was a month on Thursday. It was even worse than that. Oh. And I was like, no, now. I got onto my knees and I said, all I want is 5 minutes. And she said, no, I'm sorry. And turned me away. And I had never been back to the doctor since. Never. And I can't remember how long ago that was.
But how could you do that to someone? How could you do that? You could have walked out there and killed yourself, couldn't you?
Computer says no.
Oh my God. No.
I did it. I phoned up actually the other day because I was really concerned about something, and I said, I just need a 5 minute phone call.
Yeah.
That is it. I don't want to go to hospital because of COVID, and And I said, and she's like, no. And I said, it's 5 minutes. Even if he's in his break, I mean, I won't come in.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Just explain what's going on. I know exactly. I've written everything down. 5 minutes. Not even that. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
No. I went, pass on my number. No. Wow. Okay. So yeah, I gave up on that.
It's so bad.
I'm sure I know that doctors are really busy, but sometimes the receptionist should not be taking that into their own hands. So
yeah.
So the poor doctor probably didn't even know, because she's just gone, no, sorry. Yeah. And I understand that there's a lot of people calling and a lot of people probably pop in because they're not feeling 100% and they've got, they're overworked and underpaid. And I get that, but sometimes you've got to...
There are always exceptions. There are always exceptions. And sometimes you just... So I've got a very good friend and she's been really sick and she can't get an appointment with her doctor because you have to phone within a certain... Oh, no, you have to go there. You have to go there and wait outside the surgery to try and make an appointment. Right, okay. And then she got there and the last appointment went to the person before her in the queue. So, and she's got a really bad cough. It's not COVID, but she was outside in the cold queuing. So then she was told to phone. She phoned, there wasn't anything. Then she was like, she was really insistent. So they were like, okay, we'll get the doctor to phone you. The doctor's phoned her, but her phone hasn't rung. So she's just got a missed call. So she's phoned back. We'll call you again. The same thing's happened again. So she's phoned back again. They were like, no, you'll have to try again tomorrow. And she was crying on the phone because she was like, I'm so sick. I just need antibiotics. No, you have to try again tomorrow. My sister, I don't know if I should say this, but she basically phoned her doctor and got my friend a prescription. Within an hour, she had the antibiotics. And that's the difference between, like, but I was like, it's the receptionists. And I know they've got a really hard job, but it's like...
There's a wee old lady here. I'm not going to tell you where exactly I am, but there's a wee old lady, and she's outside that doctor's every day. She goes in. I think she just likes a wee chat.
Yeah.
And I get it. I totally get it. But I'll go and chat to her as long as I can get in there.
Yeah.
She gets in every single day. Every day she's out there, 5 days a week.
But that's, how can they do that and then not give you any time?
I don't know. And then she goes to the bank. I don't know what she's doing. She's literally.
She's probably paying them.
I don't know what she's saying. She just sort of wanders backwards and forwards with her trolley, and I was like, maybe she's just like some really like coy drug dealer or something. She's like about 90 years old, just wandering backwards and forwards between the bank and the doctors.
But no, it is really bad. And how were you? You said in the thing about you got postnatal depression after having Honey. How did you get it? Did that come on as soon as?
Well, it wasn't. I mean. I wasn't sure if it was or wasn't, because no one was, they just sort of, I didn't want anybody to come near me or my daughter at any point.
Yeah.
So it was curtains closed. Because when I had Honey, I had to get taken straight into surgery because of internal problems.
Aww.
So I had her, and then she went to her daddy, and then I was away and got bits and pieces done and came back, and I was, pretty unwell for quite a long time. And so as soon as I remember getting into, they didn't, it was in an NHS hospital, but they had this one room, and they said, oh, if you pay something like, I can't remember how much it was, 100 quid, you can have a private room. And because I was in such a state, I think Dan had found out, he said, the room's empty, like, we'll just pay 100 quid and you can have it. And it was quite nice, because that means you could have the family in, you know, you remember those times when family could come in and stuff. So Dan's family was there and Dan was there, and they'd all gotten off. And I remember getting out, and I was still, sorry, it's a bit minging, but I was bleeding.
Yeah.
And Honey was with the nurse getting her bath, and I went, got showered, got dressed, like wrapping myself up so I wasn't bleeding everywhere. And they went, where are you going? When they came through, I'm all impact on my head. Like, I'm going home. I don't think you are. Like, yeah. I was determined. I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to be people around me. I didn't want anything like that. And then I was crying a lot. But I mean, I'm sure new mums do that because it's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And my at the time, he was going off on tour. So it was kind of me and Honey at home. So I was so in love with her, but also crying at the same time. So I don't know if that's postnatal depression. And then the door was shut, so the midwife lady would come round and she'd be knocking on the door. She'd go, I know you're in there. And I'd be like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. You're not coming in. And I wouldn't let her come in. And eventually she would come in when you'd get a few phone calls, and I wouldn't answer the phone. And that only lasted about a month. And then, oh no, it's about, yeah, but badly for about a week, because I went back to work when Honey was about a week and a half old. And I took her with me. I took her with me to do voiceovers, and I was crying. I remember taking her, and because it was a good job that I was doing, and you know, you got Morgan and all the rest of it. I thought, right, I can do this. so drove into Soho to do my voiceover, and it was for Sainsbury's. So she's, Honey's been crying, so I'm leaking milky boobs, yeah, which is really attractive in front of all the clients. They're going, "How are you, Gail?" And I'm like, "Are you drinking this?" I'm like, yeah. And they went, "Are you ready to go in 3, 2, 1 Offer includes milk. It was I'd get back into the car, cry my eyes out, and she'd be crying, and I was like, "I'm so sorry, honey, oh my." And then I'd get home and I'd cry again, and then I'd be fine, and then day two. So I don't know if it was, I think it was a kind of depression,
yeah,
because I didn't know what was happening, yeah, and I didn't want anyone to help me, and
yeah.
But no, I was never that kind of, I can't, you know, some women don't want to be with a baby. It was nothing like, yeah, that. I was the was over. Just,
yeah.
Like, don't come near me. Don't touch my child. Yeah. She's mine. Even to Dan, she's mine. She's not, yeah, yours. It's like, I'm the dad. No, you're, yeah, not. I'm in the car. I just wanted it all for myself. Yeah. I was very greedy. And she was just, yeah, and that was my depression. When I was away from her, I was hysterical. I was in tears 24/7. I still get like that when she leaves. She's like, "Mom, I'm 18 for, yeah, fuck's sake."
It never stops. I love
you. See you next Friday. I love you. I don't know if it's postnatal depression. I'm just genuinely like insane. One of the-
Bless her. So do you, when you, so you separated when she was 3?
Right, yeah, 2.5, 3, yeah, I think, yeah.
How was...
I just wasn't very good at marriage, to be honest, yeah, with you. It just didn't really sit well with me.
It's hard. Like, you're the same. Yeah. We weren't married. We
have to live with you and stuff.
Yeah.
What is that all about? Didn't think... Yeah, it wasn't until we started married and we were living together and I was like, "Oh, I don't like this."
How long were you together before you got married?
Oh, God, about 6 months.
Oh, really? Months.
It wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't, yeah, long. It was kind of like 90s whirlwind. Yeah. We didn't even remember how we aged. We were like, "Where did we get those rings from?" We were like, "I don't know." Because it was a receipt from Liberty, so that was all right. But wasn't the best laid plan, yeah, but we've got a beautiful 18-year-old daughter.
Yeah. So. And it's hard. It's hard when you have a baby. It doesn't matter if you've been together for 10 years or 2 months. It's such a lot of pressure, I think.
Yeah, well, Honey was just the easiest baby in the world ever. I mean, she was so chilled. And so, how is she so chilled with like parents like me and her dad? Because he's quite manic and me, I just cry at everything. I literally cried at an advert yesterday and it was for something like, I can't even remember. It was just someone hugged somebody. I was like, that is, yeah, so nice. Probably like because Captain Birdseye was back on and he was looking really well. It could be anything. Anything can knock me off my plinth.
Would you change it?
No.
No.
Because it's just that it's not even worth thinking about. You know, some days I do think, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that." A few, but do you know what? It's done now.
Yeah.
So I've had a great life. You know, I've done loads of really good, fun things, and I've been to places that I would never be in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I've been really, really bad, bad places, and homeless, and psychiatric units, and. Hey, but you know what? It makes for a great book.
It does. So is that what you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, yeah. Doing that. Fingers crossed, something for either a TV or a series type thing based on the book.
Brilliant.
But, you know, it's all up in the air. Yeah. So, you know, TV and media and it's like you kind of, fingers crossed, that's the thing.
How far are you into the book? Have you read it? Are you editing it or are you still writing?
Well, kind of finished it before lockdown, but then obviously all this has happened, so I'm rewriting loads of it. And then I had a publisher, and then the publisher went bankrupt, and then got a publishing agent, and then nobody wanted to touch the book because of COVID, and no one knew about finances.
Yeah.
So at the moment, it's up in the air. So I just keep changing it. I just think as long as I'm writing, I may as well keep going.
Yeah.
And then I need someone to edit it because I can't even read it again. I don't want to read it, and it's all over the place. It needs someone to go right, change this, do that.
Yeah.
I'm all very sort of writing whatever I feel, but you know, probably somebody will read it and go, "Why, well, doesn't make any sense." Well, I know you tried living in my mind. It doesn't make any sense, so that's why you need to edit it. So we'll see what happens. You know, if it comes out Christmas, I'm winning. But
oh yeah, I've been seeing this for
5 years. But I think the good thing about waiting till now is, like, obviously we didn't know this was going to happen, COVID, yeah. and your mental health. I've written so much about the past year. Yeah. I kept a diary. Monday, nothing. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, no, it's not like that. Wait, a week on Tuesday, or let me think, nothing.
How do you feel about things kind of going back to normal a bit?
Well, to be honest with you, I was talking about this with my daughter because we were in town the other day there, and I've been working, still doing voiceovers in town because yeah. there's been a few students. And I've been the only person on the tube, the only person in the tube station,
yeah.
the only person in Soho. And although it was sad that you couldn't go for coffees or see your friends, I quite liked it. I was strutting around going, wow, it's like 28 days later, yeah. there's nobody here. And I was just waiting for a zombie. But and then I went in the other day there and it was mobbed. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to, my anxiety went through the roof. Yeah. I had to come back home. So I'm... You know, it's just going to take me a while to adjust, I guess. Yeah. You know, I've got set in my ways for a year.
It was quite nice not being so busy yeah. out.
And I've been out for drinks outside.
Yeah.
Nice, but I do the afternoon to meet people for coffees because in the evenings, I'm usually in Soho by like 6-7 o'clock. There's people everywhere. Yeah. And I think, wow, this is quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I take my time.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go into a restaurant today to meet a friend, and I thought, you know what, it's going to be packed today, isn't it, because everyone's allowed to eat
yes.
indoors.
Yeah, yeah, it's the first day. Yeah,
I'll give it a rest. Yeah. One of my friends, she went, right, I'm starting at 10 a.m. in this coffee shop, then going to this shop, to, you know, I'm shopping local, are you coming? And I was like, well, I don't know, I'd be a bit busy, don't know.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna have to, it calms down a wee
yeah bit. I think that's, and plus it would just be hectic anyway. It's better when it's a bit,
yeah,
not so and it's stressy.
Just the tube. I'm so used to being really respectful and always wearing masks. Yep. Whether you know, my like you can take it off when you're here, and I was like, you know, if an older person's walking past and they've got their mask, I'll put mine on,
yeah.
even if we're out. And she's like, "What are you doing that for? You don't need to wear it outdoors." And I said, "Because they're older, and it's just being respectful. You know, it doesn't hurt me any."
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many people on the tube, don't bother. And people are now sitting next to you on the tube, which has not happened.
Oh, really?
Because usually
so they've got that busy again already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Standing there, we were all squashed up. Everyone was squashed. It was like back to...
Well, that's it now, isn't it? It's back to normal.
And I think, I hope people are really careful because I was squashed up. I'd waited for two tubes and they were all the same. And I was like, I'm going to have to get on one. I'd walked as far as I can. It was pouring with rain. And so, but I had my mask on, had my hood up, and I thought, oh, wow, this is it. It's all starting again. Back to nobody cares. Bit sad.
It is a bit sad. But we have
to hope everyone's... It's nice to see your friends, and it'll be nice to have hugs and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got a feeling I'm going to be staying indoors still for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's...
Till it gets... Yeah, it's
I'm
all
not
a bit
in
much,
any rush.
Just, I'm not in a rush either. I've been for this long, you know. I got quite excited to see my friends outdoors, but then, and I was quite excited to go to Edinburgh last week because I could meet friends outside, and I've got, you know, dad stuff to deal with up there. So it was quite nice to be up there, but I'm quite happy to stay indoors at the moment. I get quite anxious and quite happy in here.
Yeah. Safe space. Oh, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed that. Yeah,
thank you. Get up for a coffee or a tea
I
or
would
something sometime.
Absolutely love that.
Well, you've got all my details, so let's do that.
Yes,
and go out somewhere not too busy.
Yes. Oh, good luck with the book. I can't wait to read it.
Oh, hopefully, fingers crossed, and touch wood, it's gonna. I've got a few things to do about it this week, speaking to more people. But I feel like I've just been endlessly talking to people about it.
Yeah.
So hopefully. There's two that looks like they're getting deals, so yeah, we can just hope.
I'll keep everything crossed.
Yes, thank you ever so.
All right, well, thank you. No, just the kids. I'm just working, pick kids up. Yeah,
school.
Yeah, that's my life. School run.
No.
School run, work, but I'm not complaining.
No, not at all. Well, listen, thank you so much. You keep in touch.
Thank you. I will do definitely.
What's the love?
All right.
See you later. Bye. Bye.
Ah, see, isn't she just lovely? And I'm going to... I'm trying to get her to come to an exhibition with me, but she can't. But I'm going to meet up with her and ask her about all the backstage gossip from Top of the Pops 20 years ago. But yes, that was lovely. And I just think it's so important to talk about mental health. And I love her outlook on everything. So yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and please give me a rating on iTunes and share it. Share it. Sharing's caring. But I do appreciate you listening. If it's the first time you've listened, then I've got loads more fantastic episodes with loads of amazing people talking about an array of issues. So just check it out. Check them out and contact me if there's anything. Or anyone you think should come on Mum and Work. Mama Pod on all the socials. And if you've got any tips on Work. What to do with your kids over the summer holidays while you're working, Work. That would also be very good. But yeah, thank you. Take care of yourselves.
Work.
And I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.